God's armor. Put on God's armor. And what I want to remind every one of us this morning is that it is putting on Jesus. Putting on Jesus in our life. If you go to Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The New Living Translation says, put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. So we have to put God's armor on. We are at war. Now think about it this way. Suppose, imagine that you were born in 1942 in the United Kingdom in London. If that was the case, you would have automatically been born into war. Nobody asked you, did you want to be in war? You could turn around and say, I am not going to be in war. I am not in, count me out. It would have made no difference, wouldn't it? When you are born in a country that is at war, when you're born in a kingdom that's war against, you automatically are at war. So Paul writes to us, he doesn't say, or if, no, he states it as a fact. That when you're born into the kingdom of God, you are born into war. You don't have a choice. You can bury your head in the sand, pretend it's not there. You know, if you were born in London and you could turn around and say, Mr. Hitler, I'm not in the war. Do you think that would have stopped a bomb dropping on you if that was the way it would turn out? No. So we are born into war. It's a fact. And then when you read the life of Paul, we read the reality of being at war because he didn't always have it easy. We've just been celebrating the beginning of the service, the achievement of Ruth after 5 years achieving this, the credential with Assemblies of God, Great Britain. But any achievement costs something. It doesn't always just come easy. And when we read the life of Paul, just as an example, because he was at war, 2 Corinthians 11:25 and 26, 3 times I was beaten with rods, 1 I was stoned, 3 I was shipwrecked, 1 I was spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rebels and from robbers. I have faced dangers from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced dangers in the cities, in the desert, and on the sea. I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers, but were not. Reality, isn't it? Reality. If you are going through battles, you're in good company. We are in good company. But this war is different from all wars in the natural. Because the war that we are in, the outcome is already known. The victory is already won. Woohoo! Praise Jesus. So God is teaching you and I something. He's teaching you something. Which is why he's allowing this. The victory is already won. Pick up your Bible. Go to the end. Read the end. We win. It's already done. On the cross, it's already done. Which is why it's so victorious. So different from all other wars. Who defeated the devil? Who defeated the devil? Jesus on the cross, as a man. He defeated the devil as a human being. He defeated him. This is why Jesus says in John 16:33, these things I've spoken to you, that that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulations. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus has overcome. So Jesus is saying to us, yes, you're going to have tribulations. He never told you that when you became a Christian, oh, plain sailing, no trouble. He never said that. He said, I will be with you and you will be an overcomer. Be of good cheer. Many places Jesus said to the disciples, be of good cheer, be of good cheer, be of good cheer. We get to be in the war so that God can teach us. He teaches us how to fight. And the scripture that we started off with says that we are not fighting against flesh and blood. We are not fighting against human beings. It is a spiritual war. Because it's a spiritual war, it's in a different dimension. And so we need spiritual weapons. So the armor of God is what we put on. It's like putting on Jesus. Now, if you go out and buy yourself a gun, that's not going to help you in a spiritual war. Because it's not in this world. It is a spiritual warfare. Earthly or natural weapons are not helping you, but God is spirit. God is spirit. And how wonderful it is. So the scripture says, put on the whole armor of God. Whose armor is it? Is it your armor? No. It is God's armor that you have to put on. It is God's armor. When we think about armor, I can't help but think about David and Goliath. Remember when David wanted to go against Goliath? And Saul was like, come on, this boy is crazy. He's one to go against a giant. Well, I better give him my armor. It didn't fit. 1 Samuel 17. Then Saul gave David his own armor, a bronze helmet and a coat of mail. David put it on, stacked the sword over it, took a step or two to see what it was like, for he had never worn such things before. I can't go in this, he protested to Saul. I'm not used to them. So David took them off again. See, when you try to put on armor from another man, it doesn't fit. It didn't fit him. He's walking like this. So he has to take it off. Saul meant well enough, but it just wasn't going to work. But in the New Testament, you get to put on God's armor. And I'm telling you, God's armor is a perfect fit for you. Why? Because you were made in his image. Remember back from Genesis 1:26, God says, we will make man in our image. Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. And you can just imagine that God comes and he makes a mold from himself on the ground, and then he digs deep into the earth, fills it up with soil, and then he breathes his spirit breath in, and Adam became a living human being. The human race is made in the image of God. So the armor of God that God is saying to you today to put on, it fits you. It's a perfect fit for you. Because we are molded after him. His armor fits because of what Jesus has done for us. So amazing. But the enemy is so mad at us. The enemy is mad at you. If you're a believer, he's mad at you. If you're not a believer, he's got you anyway. He doesn't need to spend a lot of time with you. Because people that haven't yet received the free gift of salvation, the Bible tells us they are on the way to hell. The devil just lets them get on with it. But the minute that we turn and we become part of the kingdom of God, then God's enemy is our enemy. Yes? So we are at war. Why? The devil hates us because of the love of God poured out on us. The devil's a fallen angel. The relationship between angels and Father God is different from the relationship that you and I have with Father God. We are able to say, Abba, Father. We are created in His image. God has created us to be His family. The scripture tells you that the angels can't fully comprehend salvation. They don't understand this love relationship. They worship God. They declare God is holy. But the love relationship is something really unique that we have. Because Jesus came for us. He died for us. It's very unique. It's very precious. The angels don't fully understand it because they have not experienced it. We have experienced the forgiveness of sin. We have experienced coming from darkness into light. They are just watching us. And so, Lucifer is very jealous when God decided to create the human race in His image and for His love. He was jealous. Jealous. Ephesians 2:10. We are His workmanship. In the New Living it says, we are God's masterpiece. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we may walk in them. We are His workmanship. We are His masterpiece. That's why the devil got so mad. He's so mad. Because he's jealous. The affection of God, the love of God has been poured on us. How marvelous. How marvelous. In the Old Testament, I find it so interesting who was wearing the armor in the Old Testament. And we can read that in Isaiah 59 verse 17. This is talking about the Lord Himself. It said, He put on righteousness as His body armor and placed the helmet of salvation on His head. He clothed Himself with a robe of vengeance and wrapped Himself in a cloak of divine passion. So in the Old Testament, before Jesus came and set us free, God wore the armor. After Jesus, after the victory on the cross, you and I, we get to wear not our own armor. Oh, that would be really troublesome, wouldn't it? We get to wear the armor of the Lord. It now fits us. The armor of God. It's like putting on Jesus. The armor of God is putting on God, putting on Jesus. One story that spoke so much to me is the story of a man of God. He's now with the Lord. His name is James Maloney. And when Milda and I have been to hear him a couple of times, mighty man of God, really moved mightily in the things of the Spirit. But he had many supernatural experiences, and one of them, when I heard that testimony, I thought, now I really understand the armor of God. God took him into a war-torn place, a place where there was a people group that had been totally devastated by war. These people, the Lord said to him before he went, that these people had received salvation, but nobody had preached the full gospel, that there's healing and restoration. So he was taken in the spirit and he arrived in this forest, and there was hundreds of people, people crying, people with body parts missing. It was just horrific what he saw because there was a war going on. And as he was there, the Lord said to him, you are here and you are to lay the hands on the sick and to heal them. And he's thinking, uh-oh. We've all been there. Come on, we've all been there. Because the commands of Jesus, sometimes it's like overwhelming, isn't it? But Jesus showed up, and then he saw Jesus standing there, and Jesus winked at him, just winked like that. And he's like, come on now. Jesus just winked at him and smiled, because the victory's already won. And he said, come on, you heal the sick. So he went up, and as he went up and put his hands out to pray for the first person, Jesus stepped into his body. So when he put his hands on the sick, it was the hands of Jesus. Christ in me, the hope of glory. So when you and I go, it's not us. Christ in us. This is the armor of God. When I read that testimony, of course, people were healed. Body parts grew out. Every single one was healed. Because when Jesus is in the place, Jesus healed everyone that came to him. This is the armor of God. So put on your full armor of God. That's what the Spirit is saying to you today. Put on the full armor of God, not your own armor, God's armor. It fits you. See, when there's any demons coming your way and you're standing there with the armor of God on, what do they see? What do they see? Picture yourself standing there with the armor of God on. And the demons come along to torment. What do they see? They don't see you. They see the armor of the Lord. They see God. They see Jesus. That's why they've got to dress ourselves with the armor of God. So powerful. They're going to flee. You think any demon's going to come against the armor of God? No way. That's why it's important what we say. But you stand up in the armor of God. You don't turn around and say, oh, I'm no good. No, 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 no. You speak the word of God. I am the Son of the living God. I am born again. I'm filled with the Spirit of God. You speak the word of God. Yes, sometimes inside you feel, I'm not quite sure how to do next. But you just go. Trust in the armor of God. Trusting in the Lord. That's why Jesus said, be of good cheer. Because we have the armor of God on. You're here today. You got the armor of God. If you forgot to put some on, put it on now. You're listening on Facebook, put the armor on. The full armor of God. The scripture tells us about the enemy. It doesn't say that he is a roaring lion. It says he is like a roaring lion. 1 Peter 5:8. Stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for whoever to devour. Like. Yes, he can put on quite a display. But that's all it is. It's a display. You know, when you walk past those shopping windows, I had the first trip into Edinburgh the other day there, and I walked past the biggest magazine in Edinburgh, Jenna. It's a big shop, the oldest shop, I believe, in Edinburgh. And I thought, oh, I must have a look in, but they were closed. And they were putting on new displays in the window. When you walk past these windows and you look, and you say, wow, that's a lovely handbag, that's a nice rucksack. They're not real people, these are just mannequins. It's just a display. It's not real. That's what the devil's like. It's not real. He's like a roaring lion. He'll make a sound as if he is, but he isn't. Who's a lion? Who's a lion of Judah? Woo-hoo, Jesus says. We also, the well-known Psalm 23 in verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Shadow. Shadows are not real. Maybe when a child could be afraid of a shadow. But you're an adult. You know you're not afraid of shadows. It's not death, it's the shadow of death. Death, where's your sting? Jesus has won. So the devil puts on a display, and that's what it is. Why? Because his power is, he's beaten, he's defeated. So the only way that he can get anywhere is by lying and pretending. It's all lies and pretending. That's who he is. He's the father of lies. We have a prophetic school in this church. Alec runs that. And he asked some of us to give a prophetic word for some brethren in Nigeria at a conference. And as I was writing it down and typing it out, I just said, felt the Lord was saying, it's for you as well, meaning it's for me too. And in the prophetic word, the Lord was saying, don't look at the display of the enemy. Don't even let your eyelids flicker at the display that he puts on. We've had quite a bit of display here, haven't we? We still have. Don't let your eyelids flicker. Stand on the word of God. We stand. That is what Paul tells us here. Stand. Put on the armor of God. Stand. You don't flicker and think, oh, no, no. The enemy will always put on the display. That's all it is the display. It's a shadow. It's a shadow. It's a sign pretending to be something. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 10:3-4. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Ephesians 6:12. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of the age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Yeah, these are these four areas that we are fighting. The scripture in the New Testament tells us a lot about these powers that we are fighting. I'm just going to remind you about each one. Romans 8:38 tells us that the principalities cannot keep us from the love of God. They cannot keep you from the love of God. Their power is limited. Their power is limited. Ephesians 1:20-21 tells us that Jesus is enthroned in heaven, far above all principalities and powers. Jesus is far, 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 far above. Praise God. So their power is very limited. Colossians 1:16 tells us that Jesus created them. Yeah. Jesus was part of the Trinity at creation. He created them. These spiritual beings were created by God. There's no competition. Colossians 2:10 tells us that Jesus is head over all principalities and powers. Jesus is head over them. How powerful is that? He's not the opposite of Satan. He is head over, way above. Ephesians 3:10-11 tells us that we, the church, make known the wisdom of God to the principalities and powers. Hey, we get to demonstrate the wisdom of God to them. We get to show it, display it. 1 Corinthians 15:24 tells us that principalities and powers have an end. One day, that purpose will be fulfilled. That will be the end. God has a purpose in allowing them to work at the moment. Colossians 2:15 tells us that Jesus disarmed the principalities and powers on the cross. He took their weapons. That's what disarming is, isn't it? Removing the weapons. So our victory is completely rooted in the victory of Christ. not our own victory, the victory. So we put on Jesus. The scripture tells us in Ephesians 6, it tells us, you put on the full armour and you stand. You stand with your armour on. You stand. Not sitting, lying. No, you stand. You stand in the work of Jesus. And when Paul is describing the armour, remember Paul lived in the days of the Romans. So the armour is using first century Roman soldier as an example. I mean, you could just pick whatever armour you have in your mind. But he uses the first century Roman, and he starts off by saying on the waist you have the belt of truth. So underneath the Roman uniform they would have their undergarments and they would put the belt on. When they put the belt on, that was like ready for action, because that's what they would have before they would put the armour on. They would fix the belt up. So it's talking about being ready, and it's the belt of truth. Remember I said to you that everything in the armour is putting on God, because truth has a name, his name is Jesus. So when we put on truth, we put on Jesus. We speak the truth, we speak the word of God. It's the truth, it's the truth. And then it talks about the breastplate of righteousness. That's putting on the righteousness of Christ that God has given for us. Your breastplate covers and protects all your vital organs. The righteousness of Christ protects all of our spiritual organs so that we can function. We are protected by the righteousness of Christ. It also speaks about right living. The righteousness of Christ gives us the power to live according to the word of God. I'm so encouraged in seeing over the last couple of years and many of the people that we are working with, how their lives are being transformed as they move their life into alignment with the word of God. And then you see God moving, you see the blessing of God, you see people moving into jobs, you see people getting healed, you see things working according to scripture. It is the righteousness of Christ when we put that on, and we bring ourselves into alignment with that. The blessing of God flows and we are protected. Our organs are functioning well. We have well-being. We are of good cheer. And then it talks about shoes. Shoes are so important, aren't they? Remember, we are the bride of Christ as his church. Have you seen the picture of the bride with a beautiful white dress? And then she lifts her dress up a little bit. And what does she wear for her feet? Combat boots, army boots. We, the church, we, ladies, you all know what it's like when you go to a wedding and the ladies come in with the high heels. But later in the evening when you turn around, most of the ladies bring another pair of shoes because their feet are absolutely killing them. We have these fancy shoes that we're not used to wearing every day. You can't go to war like that, can you? If you're going to go to war, If you sign up to go on a trip and you know this maybe hill walking or something, you will get instructions to wear the proper kind of shoes. Your shoes are the most important thing when you've got physical exercise. You have to have the right shoes on for the job ahead. And so Paul writes to us and says, for shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. Be ready to preach the gospel. Be ready to give account for your faith. Be ready to share the good news. That's your gospel shoes. Gospel shoes. God is giving you new shoes today, my friends, and they're called gospel shoes. They are army boots. They will take you where he leads you. Praise God. So important. Then we have the shield of faith. It is not our faith. It is the faith of Jesus. God has put in your heart and in my heart the faith of Jesus. How wonderful. This is how we put Jesus on. It's the faith of Jesus. Yes, we believe in Jesus, but it is his faith that's come into us because God has put it there. And so as you practice your faith grows. It's the faith of Jesus. And the faith is the shield, and the Roman soldiers would have a shield that would cover their whole being, a whole body shield. So it's covering your thoughts, your feelings, your imagination, against fear, against sickness, against loneliness, against lies. So when the enemy sends his arrows, you just hold up the shield of faith and they just all fall to the ground. They cannot penetrate you. Why? Because of the faith of Jesus. Faith of Jesus. The faith of Jesus. The helmet of salvation. That's all just putting on Jesus, isn't it? Helmet's so important, it protects our thoughts. Thoughts of discouragement can't penetrate the helmet of salvation. That's why we have to have that helmet on all the time, to protect our thoughts. And then we have the sword, which is the word of God. That is Jesus too. So we stand on the Logos word, the word of God. We stand on the Rhema word. We stand on the word of God. Because what we are seeing in front of us, we're seeing the enemy putting on a display. So what do? Put on the armor of God and stand. As we stand, you are an overcomer when you stand. On Facebook, you are an overcomer because you're standing on the Word of God. You're standing on the Word of God. You are an overcomer because you're trusted in Him. You are an overcomer. And it goes on in verse 18, it says, praying always with all prayers. Now, in a war, if a soldier has lost communication with the rest of the army, they're going to be in deep trouble because they're going to get separated. So that's why Paul says, all kinds of prayer. You pray in the Spirit. It's this constant communication with the Spirit and being led by the Spirit. That's why as a Pentecostal church, we don't shy away from worshiping the Lord and praying in the Spirit. We pray with our understanding, we pray in the Spirit. This constant communication so that we can always be led by the Spirit. See, a soldier doesn't just wander off doing his or her own thing. No, no. When you go to war, you follow orders, don't you? Otherwise, it would be total chaos. I love the picture that Paul gives us here. Put on the full armor of God. I encourage you today, put on God's armor. Put on Jesus. Every one of these is a picture of Jesus. You put on Jesus, it's Jesus in me, Christ in me, Christ in you. So that when you meet somebody, and you feel the Holy Spirit saying, ask if you can pray for them. You ask, always ask for permission. So when you lay your hands on them, it is the hands of Jesus. Why? Because God is always faithful to his word. When you give that word of encouragement, it's the Holy Spirit speaking to that person. 2 weeks ago at the ladies' meeting, we had a special speaker from Edinburgh. And I sent it out to the prayer group. I think of yesterday, that she said that in 1994 when they lived in Albania and it was the special religious time for the Muslims, they decided they were going to pray for all their Muslim neighbors. They prayed that God would visit them and they would have visitations of the Lord Jesus Christ. The next morning at 6 a.m., knock, knock on the door. The neighbors from the flat, they were Muslim, and they said, could this be your Jesus that appeared in my bed last night saying, I am Jesus, I am your healer. And this grandmother was completely healed. Yeah, that's the kind of Lord that we have. It doesn't matter the people that come. Don't be put off with the baggage. Don't be put off, because God loves all these people and He wants to heal them. He wants to bless them. He wants to save them from their sin. They have to get to know the Lord. And we are the salt of the earth. We are the one that have got the gospel shoes on to share the good news. I was so encouraged with that. Never give up praying. Never give up praying for your family, your friends. Every prayer, God keeps it. He hears it. Prayers of faith, He hears, He acts. When we quote and stand on His word, He will act. He always does. Praise God. Let's just bow our heads before Father God. Maybe you just want, as an act of faith and activation, just stand to your feet. Just stand to your feet, even at home. This maybe feels a bit silly on Facebook, but why not? Why don't you stand up? That we can just declare to the Lord that we are standing and we are putting on the full armor of God. Father God, today, Father, we thank you that you have given us your armor. We don't go or stand in our own strength. We put on the armor of God, which is Jesus, His righteousness, His faith. Father God, the good news. So Father, this day, Father, we stand and we declare that we will continue to stand on your word. Father, you have sent us to this place. You have said Livingston is ours, meaning it belongs to the kingdom of God. So we stand today in your armor, Father God, declaring that Livingston belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is great. God is great. Be encouraged today, my friend. Full armor of God. We are the children of God. We are the children of God. You listening at home, you're standing. It's been a difficult year, but you're standing. In your heart, you have the faith of Jesus. Declare His word. The Bible says about Father God, what does He do when He sees what the enemy is getting up to? It says, He sits in heaven and He laughs. So don't be intimidated by the display of the enemy, because Jesus is all victorious. And so we stand in the victory of Christ this day. Amen. Amen. So I want to thank the people that have been listening on Facebook today. I want to thank you for joining with us in the service. And if you're living locally, we're sure you'll join us soon in person, but we just bless you in the name of Jesus.